I'll start out with just giving you a little bit more background as to where I came from. I was born and raised in the city of Baltimore. I have a family of five children. We have right now 14 grandchildren and two great-grandchildren. And there will probably add to that, or I won't, but I mean they will add to that, the children, the grandchildren will. And so we're probably not finished with the great-grandchildren anyway. And maybe some grandchildren, I don't know. But anyway, the Lord's been good to us. I was a career firefighter in the city of Baltimore. I had a wonderful job. I loved my job. It was like playing soccer or baseball. You know, you just like to get up in the morning. I can't relate to anybody that hates to go to work. Because when I would get up, I'd go to the firehouse, and man, I was just, you know, I lived on the edge, and I like doing that. That's maybe why the Lord called me to China. Yes, sir?
We call it fire
camp. Fire camp? Is that what it is? Hey, there you go. I like that. But it was exciting, to say the least, you know, especially when you had to climb buildings with a pompier ladder and the training and all. But the Lord blessed me in that ministry. But I was saved when I went in the fire department, and I lived for the Lord when I was in there. We had a Firefighters Christian Association in Baltimore, part of the national organization that we belonged to. We had monthly meetings, and we just had a real good testimony there. As time went on, though, I always wanted to serve the Lord. And I told my wife, I want to go on the mission field. Or I said, I wanted to serve the Lord full time, but I don't know where or when. But when it's time, the Lord will call me. And I'm certainly not going to leave the country. Well, that was a joke. Never tell the Lord you're not going to leave the country, you're not going to do this, because you don't know what He's got planned for you. I couldn't get any further away. If I did, I'd be coming home. So that's how the Lord works. But the wonderful thing is that in 1988, somebody gave me a book that changed my life. Besides the Bible, it was probably one of the most powerful books I ever read, besides The Life of George Mueller and another book called Priority One. But as I read that book, I was a captain at the time. I was a captain of Engine 17 on Ford Avenue and Hall Street, not far from where Fort McHenry was in Baltimore. And as I went into my office that evening, I was working night shift, it wasn't the same. I knew as soon as I walked in that office that this is not the same office I walked into, you know, 48 hours before. Things had changed in my life, and they would never be the same again. Now, if you want to know what the name of that book is, you ask me after the meeting, okay? It wasn't a bestseller. You probably may not even have heard of it, but it changed my life. We decided in 1988 that we would seek out the Lord's will for our lives to go on the mission field or to work in the missions in Baltimore, and the Lord led us through a lot of steps, which I don't have time to go through, but 3 years later, in 1991, January, only a week after the Gulf War broke out, to free the city of the country of Kuwait, we went into China, went in through Hong Kong, and later on that year, we went back to start the 10 years in August of 1991. We stayed there 10 years, except for 3 months in the summer, we would come home when our daughters or children would come home from college. We didn't want to save the world and lose them. And the Lord blessed us in that. But in the course of doing that, the Lord led us to China. He confirmed in our hearts that's where He wanted us to be through a whole bunch of other steps. But one of the things that motivated me to open myself up to what the Lord had for me was a desire to know the Lord in a special, practical, everyday way. And I say that, I'm not talking about visions in the sky, and I'm not talking about hearing voices or dreams or anything like that. But I wanted to know the living Lord Jesus Christ in a practical way in my life. And I told the Lord in early 1970s, I said, Lord, if You will show Yourself real to me in life, because I believe the book. It's not about the book. I believe I have faith and trust in You. I believe every word that's in this book. But I want to outlive You in my life, and I want to see You do something. I want You to use me some way. And I said, if You do that, I will stand in the congregation of believers, and I'm fulfilling that promise, part of it today, tonight, right now. And I will proclaim to the people that are willing to listen to me that You are real. So in addition to seeing what China is about and some of the ministry there, I'm here to proclaim the reality of a Lord Jesus Christ, a living Savior, someone who is alive and real and wants to be active in your life and wants to be outlived in your life. I was 19 years old when I finished my military obligation, my active duty, and I started going to an assembly in Baltimore. And I had missionary after missionary come through Baltimore and had an impact in my life. And I hope that I can be that kind of a missionary to someone in this room today. I never went on the mission field till I was 47 years old. Try learning Chinese when you're 47. You know, Chinese is the language of heaven. It takes an eternity to learn it. Just a joke. We just throw that in to lighten things up a little bit. But I hope you get the point. It's not just about China tonight, but it's about seeing the Lord Jesus Christ become real in your life. And I'm going to give you an example. I get excited when I have a chances like this, but I want to begin by reading you two scriptures. And these scriptures, the more I concentrated on them and the meaning of them, Philippians chapter 3, verse 10 is the first one. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings being conformed to His death. I wanted to know the reality of that scripture in my life. And when I'm done tonight, if you feel that you're dealing with somebody who doubts the reality of a living Savior, give them my phone number. I'll give you my phone number and you can give it to them. And tell them to call me. And I will tell them the promises that I have claimed in Scripture and how that God proved Himself real in so many incidences, in and out, coming in and out of China, that weren't coincidences. And I'm going to share one with you in a minute before we go into the slides here. The other scripture is in John 17, 3. And this is a really powerful one. This is the core verse of John, the Gospel of John. And this is eternal life, that they may know You, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom You have sent. And that's what I wanted to do. I didn't want to know God just from the book. I have faith, and I believe it's you need faith. By grace through faith, as Ephesians chapter 2 tells us. But I think you get the point of what I'm trying to make. I'm not going to wear it out. I had a request by a fella in our Friday night Bible study. He was a pastor of the Chinese church just off the campus that was related to our Friday night Bible study from University of Maryland, Baltimore County, UMBC. And he came to me and he said, Fred, I have a burden for my mother, and I want you to go visit her in China your next trip. His name was Ren Yunsheng, and I said, okay, Ren Yunsheng, I will definitely do that. He was from a little town, a little up north, we say Pudunk, Kentucky type town, you know. It's a whistle stop on the train. You know, I don't want to offend anybody is anybody here from Pudunk, Kentucky, or whatever that town's called? That's what my daughter always calls it. But anyway, it was one of these little towns, a whistle stop. You have about 35 seconds to get off the train and somebody else has to get on. And the name of that city was called Lushan. Lu means green and Shan means mountain, means the town of the green mountain. So I said, okay, I will. So when I got the information down, had him write it in Chinese. I don't write Chinese that well. I read a little bit of it, but I speak, you know, no problem. So I get to the fourth largest city in China, city of 11 million people, Tianjin. It's about 85 miles southeast of Beijing, the capital. I went to the train station. I said, I want to buy a ticket to the city of Lushan, but I have to go through the city of Xi'an first. Could you just tell me the train number so when I get to Xi'an, I can buy the ticket? The lady's tapping it in the computer. She said, I'm sorry. She said, we don't have a stop at Lushan. There's no trains go through there. I said, yes, I know it does. because I know this boy was born and raised there, and I know there are. Well, she said, when you get to Beijing, she said, you ask Beijing, their database is a little bigger. I said, okay, yes, ma'am. Went to Beijing. This is the second biggest city in China, about 13 million. Go there, same thing. I asked the lady, I'd like to buy a ticket to the city of Lushan. Tap, 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 you know, checked it out, our database. I'm sorry, but we don't have any. There's no Lushans on our routes, railroad routes. I said, ma'am, I said, it's got to be. I know that this boy left the town, you know, to come to America. He got on a train right in his own. She said, I'm sorry, but I'm not bringing anything up. Maybe they don't stop there. I said, okay. So I got people praying for me in the city of Baltimore, in the city of Pennsylvania, New Jersey, different places around. Maybe some here from North Carolina. I'm not sure. And I had people praying for me. Every time I go in, I bring materials in my suitcase, and I ask you to pray because I want to get around the x-ray machines. I don't want to have to put my bags on. And there's some really remarkable stories with that. But for the time being, I'm going to concentrate on just this one tonight. So I said, okay, and I'm thinking, Lord, that lady needs to hear the gospel, and I'm willing to go. The rest is up to you. I don't know. I've done what I can, but the rest is up to you, Lord. So sure enough, I bought my ticket to Xi'an. I got on the train, 7:30 in the evening. And this is an overnight sleeper. You get to Xi'an 12 hours later or 11 hours later at 6:30 in the morning. So I get on the train, and this is, you have cubicles. And each cubicle has, you'll see them on the slides, they have three bunks on each side of the cubicle. Now, the lower bunks are the more expensive bunks because you don't have to climb, you know. And I was a little late getting my ticket, so I couldn't get a lower. I had to get a top bunk. That's no big deal. I don't care as long as I get there high and dry and safe. So I get on the train. I'm in a cubicle with five women and me, one guy. That's not strange in China. That's no problem with that. It's nobody, you know, that's not a problem. But next to me is another cubicle that has five men and one woman. So I'm up on the top bunk getting my stuff all separated like. Next thing I know, I hear this little Chinese lady saying, sir, sir, Sansang, Sansang. And I said, yes, ma'am. She said, you're in a cubicle with five ladies and you, and I'm in one with five guys. One of them's my coworker, but the other four aren't. She said, in the cubicle next to you, she said, would you mind switching bunks with me? And I got a lower bunk, she said. I said, no, ma'am. I said, I'll change bunks with you for that. I said, I'll even pay you the difference in the price. She said, no, I don't care about that. Just change with me. You know, I'd appreciate that. So I said, okay, I will. So we changed bunks. She got in the top. I went to the bottom next door to there. And there was a real nice guy. Her colleague was sitting across from me in the bed. And we're sitting on the bunks. You know, the bunks are going this way. The aisleway on the train is over here. So I'm facing him. He's facing me. And we're talking. You know, you have small talk on the train. The Chinese want to pick your mind. They want to know what's going on, where you live, how many kids you have, what's your wife's name, where do you work, how much money you make. You know, all kinds of stuff, personal stuff. They like to dig deep. They really want to know what Americans, what they're built on, what they're thinking on. So finally we get done. He said, where are you going? I said, well, I'm headed, my final destination I'm hoping is going to be Lushan. He says, oh, Zhejiang, Lushan? I said, no, not Zhejiang, Lushan. Zhejiang is a province. I said, this is Henan, Lushan. He said, Henan, Lushan. He said, I never heard of it. He said, Zhejiang. I said, no, it's not Zhejiang. It's Henan. He says, okay. He said, do you have it in writing? I said, yeah. So I showed him. My Chinese pastor friend wrote it down. I handed it to him. And up on the side of the wall of the cubicle are these little net bags where you can put, like, your toothbrush and your personal items or your little mini net if you have it, or your iPad or whatever. So he reaches around, he gets this little mini net, and he puts it on his lap, and he says, let me see it. So he looked at it, and he says, oh, yeah. He said, you got a pencil? I said, yes, sir, I do. So I get my pencil out, and he's giving me all these trains, the different options, what time they leave. I had to go to Luoyang, another city. He told me what train to get on. If I had three different options there, I'm saying to myself, how can this be? This is, you know, is this perchance? Did I just happen to get on a train at 7:30 in the evening in the city, the biggest, one of the biggest cities in the world? I just happened to get on a train on the upper bunk next to a lady who's on the lower bunk who's traveling with a guy who ended up being with the federal equivalent of the federal transportation system of China, had every airplane and every train route on his computer. And he's given me the options I have when I go to the city of Luoyang. Do you think that can just happen? No. And I had people praying for me throughout the United States, knowing the exact time that I would be traveling in China? No. You see, we serve a real living God. And if you're willing to trust Him, do these things happen every day? No, I couldn't take it every day. My heart wouldn't take it, especially going through the x-ray machines and all. It doesn't work like that. But what I'm telling you is, if you're willing to trust God and you want to know He's real, the only true God, and you want to experience the life of a resurrected, living Lord Jesus Christ in your life, and you trust the things that He gives us in God's Word, you will know, and He will hold you to your promise. That's why I need to tell you tonight, just one of those stories. Believe me, you don't have enough time here for me to go on. I'm telling you these stories, I could tell you all night long. And honestly, I don't think I'd put any of you to sleep, except maybe if there was a little baby in arms. Couldn't understand. But that's how God is. He wants to show Himself strong on our behalf. He wants us to know Him more than we want to know Him. Well, going into China begins. We can't go into China and start with, we were talking about this a little earlier tonight. I can't start with the Lord Jesus Christ, that part of the Bible, when I go into China, because 95% of the people in China are pure atheists. And I mean pure atheists. They don't believe there's a God. So I've got to step all the way back to Genesis 1:1, and I've got to begin there to try to get the message across. I've got to first establish the fact that God exists. Now, what makes it a little easier for me, and most of the Chinese don't know this, but the Chinese language has the testimony of God's Word in it. Trust me. It's not something that somebody made up after the fact. What I'm going to show you was originated in 2500 BC by a bunch of what we call Chinese scholars sitting around a table or under an apple tree. I have no idea where it was. But somewhere in China, when these men were thinking of writing, taking their oral vocabulary and making it in pictographs, they chose certain pictographs to denote certain definitions of certain words, the meanings of certain words. Now, I'm a fisherman in Maryland. I fish the Chesapeake Bay. That's my hobby. And I have a fishing ministry there, too. I take Chinese out and sometimes kids from our church and all. So this really, I get into this word really good. Because the word is, make sure I got the right word here. That's not what I want. There we go. The word is chuan, chuan. Now, this character, chuan, was made, created, designed 2,500 years B.C. Okay? Now, this is what we call a radical. It denotes the main emphasis of everything else that goes on in this character, this pictograph. Now, this is the radical Joe. Now, sometimes you'll hear my voice go up and I'll say, Joe, it's not that I'm squeaky or anything like that. It's the way you pronounce Chinese words. You can say Joe, you can say Joe, you can say Joe or Joe, and it means four different things. You can say ma, you can say ma, ma, or ma. And if you're not careful, you could call your mother a horse. If you say it wrong. Because ma, ma means ma, first tone is mother. You say mama, you know, it's ma, high tone. You could say, ba, that means like rope or hemp. You say, ma, and that means horse. Or you can say, ma, which means to scold somebody in a nasty way. Not cussing, but just don't, you'll see Chinese always say, bie ma wo, ma. The fourth tone, that means don't argue with me or don't scold me. That's so if you're not careful, you can call your mother a horse, really, literally. I never tried it, and I won't. But anyway, this is what we call a measure word. We have different things in our system, in our English word system. We have vessels. We have boats. We have ships. Three different things that denote basically a vessel or something that floats on the water. And that's basically what this is. Joe, this is the letter ba. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8. Okay? That's 8, the number 8. This here is a pictograph of a person's mouth. It's what they call ko. Anytime you see this in any kind of Chinese character, you know that it has something to do with people. Okay? Now, if you have a boat, you have Joe Ba Ko, a boat with 8 people in it, means Chuan, which means the simplicity, the simple name of boat. What boat comes to your mind that has 8 people?
The Ark.
The Ark, exactly. So when these Chinese guys were sitting around, the most intelligent men in the nation, probably, they wanted to come up with a word that meant boat. They wanted to come up with Chuan. They made this character, this pictograph. Okay? Now, that's how I get my opening a lot of times on the trains, standing at a bus stop, could be a vendor selling me stuff, or any time I meet with friends of relatives and all that in Baltimore that I go visit in China. It gives me an opening. It's not me. I didn't make this up. Your ancestors did, 2,500 years B.C. So don't tell me that the indigenous main religion of China was Buddhism, Taoism, or Taoism, because that precedes everything. That's when the Xia dynasty began to unify China in the year 2,500 B.C. And it can be historically proven. I don't need to prove it. It's there. One more, and then I'll let you go, and we'll get into the pretty pictures. The other character, and this is where I come to the point of, this is very important. Because that same language right here is another word. This is the traditional word for righteousness, yi. Excuse me. This is the word for righteousness. It's also composed of two radicals. This radical up here is the radical yang. These little markings up here tell you what tone it is. This is second tone. You got yang, then you got yang, then you got yang, and then you got yang. Okay, this is yang. This means lamb. Okay, this one down here means me. Wo. That means me. So when these guys wanted to find out, how do you become righteous? Again, 2,500 years before Christ, they made this character up. This isn't something that new came on the scene. This is 500 years old. The only way you can become righteous is to put yourself under the Lamb. Yang, Wo. Me under the Lamb produces righteousness. It was there. And it still is there today. So that we use things like this to crack the door open. And they begin to say, oh man, I didn't, they never question the characters because they know the characters are correct. They can't question the meaning because they know what the characters mean. And all we have to do is tell them, your ancestors did it, not me. Then they... Somebody get me some water, please. Just a cup of water. Thank you. So that we can start and get put our foot in that door and begin to establish the fact that God is real. And in doing that, their relationship may start out with that curiosity, like the guy on the train. You know, how much you make, where you live. Did you ever graduate from college? You know, what are you doing now? All that kind of stuff. It always comes around to where you will have an opportunity and you learn another phrase when you get all the small talk. Thank you so much. When you get through all the small talk, you can look at the guy and say, it means towards life. What kind of a perspective do you have? What's your goals and purposes in life? Why are we alive? What's the meaning of your life? And then that's all she wrote. It's a snowball coming down the hill. And then you just pick it up from there. That's just one method that we use. And there's lots of other methods. But the Lord has been gracious to us. My wife speaks better Chinese than I do. My vocabulary is probably a little bigger than hers, but her pronunciation is much better than mine. The Chinese tell me all the time. We also have some special projects that we're doing. This is a solar-powered MP3 player with 34 gospel messages by Charles Stanley. Of course, it's not Charles Stanley's voice. It's Charles Stanley's sermons, but they've been translated into Chinese, and you don't need any electricity. They have a solar panel on the back. You can just, you know, leave them out in the sun, or actually it's charging right now. And then we also have another MP3 player we use that doesn't have the onboard solar panel. But as you can see, we have one here. And then at nighttime, the people that have these kind of with theirs, they actually get a little flashlight with it too. So we use these up in the mountains where there's very little, if any, electricity, or people that are in the hospitals that need to hear the gospel. A lot of older folk that have lower educations can't read. So it's no sense giving them a book. So we use these for distributing, not mass distributions, but, you know, we don't do it by the hundreds of thousands or anything, but we have these coming in from Hong Kong through a network that we've established through a Hong Kong assembly. And we use them. We were talking earlier about the Lisu tribe down in near Burma in southwest China. We've had some work and some ministry going on down there now. We got a shipment that's going to ship out of similar MP3s like this, but with an external speaker and also, okay, I'll try to give you a
马太福音第一章
耶稣基督 后裔 That's Matthew chapter 1. It talks about his 后裔 His 后裔 here.
亚伯拉罕生于以撒。
is his family history.
雅各生犹大和他的兄弟们。
He's going right through the 亚伯, which is the genealogy of Jesus.
法勒斯和谢拉。法勒斯生西斯伦。西斯伦生亚兰。
Now, I put it on here, an external speaker, but this has a speaker, too, without it. But for this large group, I just added this is a small amplifier. Pretty nice, too. You can get these for like $9.95 at Best Buy. Good. I can carry them with me on a train. Sometimes if we only have one person, you don't need this here. But sometimes we get a crowd of 5-6 different people there. I've even had policemen sit down on a train and watch a Jesus video with us. Believe it or not, could never do that 20 years ago. You'd have been sending letters to me in some jail over in China probably. But just those are some extra things that we're involved in now. In addition to normal gospel presentations in China as well as in the States. I'm going to go in here and put a face on this because we're going to move fast. I know we're limited for time and kids got to go to school tomorrow. And let's get going. Okay, our ministry is twofold. We have a UMBC ministry, which is the stateside ministry. And That's at University of Maryland. We deal with students, scholars, and their families. This is, can we have the lights out maybe? Just at least the first front half of the room might help a little bit. There we go. Now, this is, that guy there, he's not Chinese. He's one of the deacons. He teaches the English class at our Friday night Bible study, Doug Massey. Godly man. He's a deacon, and I want to tell you, any project that you're doing, if you don't involve the leadership, it's not going to work. The leadership has to be a participant. Somehow it has to support the different tentacles that go out from here in the way of ministry or outreach or whatever. If you really want it to work, it's got to be like this. But Doug, and that's his wife there, May, they have been associated with the Bible study for 15 years at least. And this is the English class. These people want to increase their English listening comprehension. And Doug teaches a Bible session on Friday night. This is the Chinese group. We're in the same building, same time, but we meet in different areas. This is the Mandarin group. Of course, I'm taking the pictures, and I attend both of them. I go to this. I probably go to this one more than I do the other one because I don't want to cut in on Doug's teaching over there. Then we have a children's group too. Now the children, the number of kids fluctuates from year to year. I've been associated with this Bible study since 1989. So this was one of our biggest groups of kids that we had. And we trained six couples on taking over this, and they rotate now. Some of them are gone though because that's a transient ministry. Because when they graduate, get PhDs, they go on. They've got to go where the work is. And some stay in the Baltimore area because we have a lot of government. You have NIH, you have NSA, you got Department of Agriculture. You have all kinds of stuff there that are government-based. And we also have treats, finger treats at the end of the meeting. And we have a singing thing that we open up with. And this is done in a off-campus church that actually gives us their church and has been for over 26 years now. They've let us use that church. I didn't start 26 years ago. I was only about 23 years ago. We also have a special, what we call special meetings. These are where we have a monthly meeting, a potluck supper. We get a whole lot more people from the college, Chinese people from the college that will come out for this. They will never come out to our Bible study, but we use it as a feeder. They're here. This was on a Thanksgiving, in fact. And we had, at this is the whole group as a mass. And this fellow here is one of the elders at our assembly, Al Gray, and he's speaking through a translator. But usually we have Chinese scholars, professors, PhDs that are Christians, and they're deep into science and DNA and all that kind of stuff, astrological calculations, and they come and give their testimony and give apologetics. So it varies. Sometimes it's, very few times is it an American, but I asked Al to do it because it was Thanksgiving that particular day. This is an on-campus outreach. This is Zhongwen Chajing Ban, which means Zhongwen means Zhong is the one of the characters that is in the name of Chinese. Zhong means in the center, and then you've heard the name the Middle Kingdom, Zhongguo. Guo means kingdom or land, and Zhong means the center. So the Chinese called themselves Zhongguo because to them, they are the center of the universe. They're the center of the world. We have you see a map, always America's in the center. You look at a Chinese map, China's always in the center. And that's just the way they call themselves Zhongguo. Center, kingdom, the middle kingdom of the world. Let's see what I got here. Here we go. And this is this is done periodically. This is a English class that we do systematically. And we do this in the evening. This is the beginner's class. And then this is Don. He's an elder at our assembly. He teaches the intermediates English class. I teach the beginners. Don teaches the intermediates. We do this on Tuesday nights, of which we just finished one section. We'll do like 6 weeks at a time. We'll do periods of groupings of 6 weeks. This guy, he's great too. He's a not only is he an elder, he's one of my best buddies, and they love him. The Chinese love him. He's from, I think he was in Missouri or Indiana. He's a farm boy, and they relate to that because many of them come from little villages out in the boondocks, the Pudong places there. This is also, this was a ladies, we haven't done this for a while, but if there is enough ladies or men that want to participate in this, we have a daytime luncheon video, we call it a video luncheon. And most of these ladies can't speak a lick of English, except just a little bit maybe. And this lady here really is one of the prime leaders, her and this lady here. And she's actually in full-time ministry. But they do it at a different church, not too far from where the campus is. Ephesus was a very profitable group, very profitable. And we do study Christian. I have about 32 Christian VHSs that we use, and then we have discussion afterwards. Okay, we're going to take you into mainland China now. And I do two trips every year. Each trip's for about a month. My base of operations is in the city of Tianjin. Tianjin is a city about 85 miles southeast of the capital of Beijing. And then I do travel from Tianjin to many other areas as the doors open to visit students, relatives of some of the people I work with here on Friday nights. Now, I want you to take note of this picture. There's nothing special about it, but it just does tell you this is the city of 11 million, Tianjin. This is a skyline. Believe me, it's only a facade. These buildings will start falling apart 5 years after they're built. China is nothing but one big facade. And I mean that. The plumbing, the electricity, the sewage, everything is 50 years behind what you see here. What you see above ground will begin to decay about 5 years after it's built. And if you go inside of these 4 or 5 star hotels, they would never pass as a 4 or 5 star hotel in America. They're pretty, they're beautiful, but the infrastructures are all wanting. They are. And that's China. To them, it's very good, it's very high quality, it's 5 star stuff. But on a world standard, much of it is only a facade. And that's a shame because they're going to lose a lot in the long run because a lot of the repairs that have to be done on some of these buildings and the understructure, the sewage problems they have, the electricities, they don't even hardly use handheld landlines anymore for telephones. Everything is cell phones now. Believe me, every time when I was in language school, we'd see these guys come and go up the pole, and the wires were, if the guy ever fell and got tangled up in the wires, he wouldn't have to worry about the electricity. He'd hang himself. He could never get through it. It would be like a net. I mean, and we'd say, oh, Lord, we got to pray for this guy because that's how bad the wiring system was for the telephones and electricity and all. It's coming along a little bit now, but believe me, you'll get the picture. But I want you to look at this beautiful skyline because I have a comparison for you at the end of the program. Now, you see this here? This is what we call a high-speed dubber, a high-speed DVD burner. We have two of these now in China. This young lady is the daughter of a house church leader who helps me. She doesn't anymore. She's finished her schooling, and she's down in Sichuan, Yunnan. She's down there working with some other Christian organization. But while she was up there, she would help me with copying these DVDs. We do it, you know, I can't do hundreds and thousands of them, but I do some of them every time I go, and I use them for a free distribution. And every one of them that I do, because the quality is always an issue when you buy anything in China, used for China. I don't care whether it's a coffee cup or whether it's a DVD, a blank DVD, it is wanting. I mean, the quality is not there. What you receive here that's made in China is fairly decent compared to what... that's right. I'll leave this alone. Okay, this is a government church. This is a regulated, legal government church. We call it the Three Self Church, Sanzi Jiaohui. Self-supporting, self-propagating, self-governing. And that's why they call it Three Self Church. That's the English translation. Very good church. More and more, the pastors are trained in government seminaries. And initially, when this was set up back in the late 80s, middle 80s or so, maybe earlier 80s, but never developed to the point until the 90s when Deng Xiaoping took over. More and more of the pastors are becoming, or evangelical believers, and you are hearing some really good messages out of here. Some really good stuff. And they even have Sunday schools now. Don't let anybody tell you that it's against the law, that it is against the law to have Sunday schools, but they're having Sunday schools. And that's another thing. Nothing is written in concrete in the Chinese legal system. Nothing. You can negotiate anything. We were in this one place, the lady said, she said, "How old are you?" I said, 47. She said, "Oh my." She said, "That's a shame." She said, we have rules here. We don't take anybody over 40 to learn the Chinese language. It's too hard." I said, "All right." I said, "Come on, Kath, let's go." This was in Beijing. So we get up, we start walking through the door. She said, wait a minute. Come here. Sit down. She said, "Yeah, you might be 47, but we don't have to worry about that. You look like you're a pretty smart guy." That's how it is. You know, you don't get your best deal until you're ready to walk away. And that's here for America. That's true of America, too. Just remember that. That's a little sideline. That doesn't parlay into this. But okay, now, this is a bookstore at a Chinese legal government church. And you can buy a lot of good stuff in there. Now, I don't carry Bibles in anymore. You see those stacks of Bibles there? That's all Bibles. And then in this room back here, they got boxes and boxes of them. Do they still need Bibles? Yes, they do. When you hear appeals on the radio for Bibles through the American Bible Society or the National Bible Society, it is legit. And people in Hong Kong will bring them in. They'll take them through. Hosanna Ministries and other ministries in Hong Kong and other places will bring them in. But these Bibles are in a city of 11 million. The cities only represent probably 25% of Chinese population. The rest of the 1.3 billion people live out where these Bibles aren't accessible. And if they are, they don't have the money to buy them. Although they're cheaper, I can buy Bibles here. I can buy that Bible right there, full Bible, Chinese, for probably less than, probably a buck and a half, 10 kwai. It's a 6-to-1 exchange rate. Now, you see these DVDs and all up here, VCDs? I got the whole Bible on VCD, from Genesis to Revelation, dramatized, really acting out. Great stuff. It cost me like $2 a set, $2 per DVD. You know, and they're classy. I mean, good stuff. My wife and I just watched the first one of Abraham. I mean, I've watched it many times, but we just started watching it again. 4 VCDs, you know. And then you've got a lot of other stuff in here. You've got Bible books. You've got the Jesus video, which you can purchase now right there. That's one of them I use when I'm on the train. Lots of good stuff is being produced here. Is there still a need? Yes. I just want to give you a balanced look. We were talking about this earlier. Yes, there is persecution in China. But you cannot make a general statement and say all of China is being persecuted. No, it's not like that. There are pockets in China, especially in some of the larger cities, where as long as you don't flaunt it, I can never let them know that I'm a missionary. That's not what I'm talking about. But the locals have a little more freedom now than they had in the late 80s. And it's getting better. They're riding the coattails of they need the technology. They need the parts. You know, they want to put spaceships on the moon. That's what their next project is, to put a man on the moon. You've heard them probably talk about that. And they're working on that. Unfortunately, due to some people in America that have the dollars ahead of their common sense and integrity, they may do that very quickly, too. Okay, I'm at these two people on a bus. We were sitting across from one another, just started conversation. One thing led to another. We developed a relationship. Next thing we know, we're eating at a restaurant. Next thing you know, a couple weeks, a couple months, they're getting saved. They got baptized, and both of them now are very active in a Bible study that's carried on by some navigators in China. I can't keep them in anything because I'm only there briefly. But anybody that I meet like this that I have a chance to lead to the Lord, I'll turn them over to somebody else. Or if I haven't led them to the Lord, I'll lead them over to somebody that can follow them up. These people got saved and they're doing well. This is a house church meeting. This is a family house church. Everybody in there is related in some way. I baptized this man right there. I baptized him in a shower with a red bucket. We didn't have a pool or anything. So I had a 3-gallon bucket. And he wanted to be baptized. And so we, you know, one time I was practicing for a baptism. This is the first time I ever did one outside of a pool or a lake or something. And this was a mother, a father, and a son. And they wanted to be baptized. And it was cool weather, so we had to do it inside this apartment. So in China, you cannot drink the water out of the tap. You can't do it. Everything's got to be boiled and then cooled if you want it cool, or boiled. You let it get tepid, and then you can drink it. It's my first time now doing this in a bathtub. So I said, my wife wasn't around. In fact, she wasn't with me on this trip. She wasn't with me. So I didn't know whether I was going to go have them get down on their knees and go this way, or whether we were going to go back this way. So I had to try myself both ways. So I filled the bathtub up as far as I could without overflowing it when I got in it. And remember now, you can't drink the water. Well, I didn't hold my nose and shut my mouth when I went back. I gobbled a whole bunch of water out of the bathtub. That's bad enough drinking it out of the spigot, but drinking it out of the bathtub, and I tell you, food poison is not something you want to get. And I just prayed. I said, Lord, I know I swallowed enough water to really have a bacterial dysentery probably, but I said, you got to get me through this one, Lord. And I didn't get sick. Really, it was God's grace, trust me. But I decided to go this way instead. It worked out much better for them and for me. But this lady here, my wife, had a big impact in her life. Her name is Mrs. Liu. And this is all. She led every one of these people to the Lord. This lady here is a Communist Party member. Her father is a higher up in the Communist Party in the education system in the city of Tianjin. She is saved real good. This is her husband back here. He's not saved. And yet he lets them meet in the apartment. And I mean, if she'd ever get caught with all of us in there like that, her father would, they'd probably hang him and her probably together. But she loves the Lord. And that's her daughter right there. Her daughter's saved too and has been baptized. This young man back here now is taking some leadership and some training with the navigators that I was talking to you about that are working there. It's a great group. I've been working with them for probably 12, 15 years. Very, very good group of people. We visit people in China, relatives of people that we work with here in the States. This was one couple. We just happened to get there, and this lady here was on an IV. She had some cardiac problems, and I think her electrolytes were messed up or something. So when we got there, neither one of them were saved, but we were able to connect with them, and I knew their son and daughter in America. We had a chance to share the gospel with them, and just a great time. We left them some material, and Lord willing, his son and daughter will follow up on that. This is the train evangelism I'm talking about. This is Larry Price, my buddy. He's from Colorado Springs, Colorado. Loves the Lord, can't speak a lick of Chinese. But he does more evangelism for a guy that can't speak Chinese than anybody I've ever met in the whole land of China in 21 years I've been there. Honestly, you see these things up here, these racks like, and there's actually another rack that runs all the way across the top. The last time, back in October, we were riding together. We get on the train, so he doesn't worry about the bags. Sometimes I get mad at him, saying, you dump the bags on me, man. Don't run away. He'll run away and try to trap somebody in one of the cubicles and get his mini net out and start showing them the Jesus video, or he's got a program in there on the Chinese characters he does. Loves to do that. He's got that down to a science. Well, this little girl could speak some English. So she was talking to us in the train station. When we got on the train, she walked back because she was interested in knowing more about the God of the West. So she comes back, and Larry says, okay, I got this one rough. I said, okay, Larry. So she's sitting down there, and this is one of the cubicles that has the bunk, you know, that I was talking about. And you got three bunks on this side and three bunks on that side. And, of course, she was in another car, but Larry's got the little mini net down here. And he's showing her, I don't know whether he had the Chinese characters on or whether he had the Jesus video. This is another one that we were carrying materials to. This lady's blind, but she's in the city of Handan, and her daughter was studying English in our English class and asked us to visit. She's saved real good. These are what we call Bible women. They're women that go out into the countryside. All they do is go out into the countryside and evangelize. And that's their whole, that's the calling God's put upon their lives. We make sure they have material, and we will, Lord willing, I'd like to get back there. I got a new bunch of Bill McDonald's commentaries that are coming out. They're just got printed up, and I'm hoping to take some down to them in the very shortly. We're almost done now. I was at her house, and this is kind of her guide. This is one of her neighbors, and she's saved too. And I was just explaining to him some things about, I don't know, America or anything. But we were eating in this round table, and Larry and I and her, that lady and her daughter, we were talking, and they had this sausage on the table, lunch meat sausage, like, you know, it was sliced about so big around. And it was pretty good, you know. And so the lady looked at me and she said, "You know what you're eating?" I said, "What do you mean?" She said, "That there, that sausage." I said, "Well, man, I guess it's pork or beef or something, lamb." She said, "No." I said, "What is it?" She said, "It's a donkey." So that's the first time I had a chance to eat a donkey, you know. I came home and told my grandkids. They said, "You ate a donkey, Pop-Pop? What are you doing eating a donkey?" I said, "Well, that's the way it goes, kids." Some more people that we met in our travels through other people that their son was sick, dying of leukemia. That's him, Kevin. We prayed for them. The church in America shared some gifts with them. He recovered. He had a bone marrow transplant. And he's alive and well today. This picture was taken a couple years ago. And he should be about ready to graduate college now. And everybody got saved but his father. His father, to my knowledge, has not got saved. I know her sister very, very well. She was here in America for a while, and that's how we got to know them. That's the fast train. These trains travel as much as 300 kilometers an hour, which is about almost 200 miles per hour U.S. speed. Most of the trains are like this, you know, but this is just a Beijing. This is going to Zhengzhou. See that there, Zhengzhou? That's another major city. It was going between Tianjin and Zhengzhou. Now, same picture as the beginning. Same location. Same time of the morning. But you can't hardly see the buildings. Pollution. That's China's one of them. That is probably the most important problem they have to deal with is pollution. Not just air pollution. Water pollution. Sewage. When you go by some of these canals that must have been beautiful back in some of these dynasties, they're black. They're black, filthy, and stink. My wife and I would ride down these alongside of these canals at nighttime, you know, 10, 10:30, you know, in late spring, May, and they would stink to high heaven. I mean, they're just bad. They're working on them, but pollution, that's one of their major, major problems. When the Lord saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them because where they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to the disciples, "The harvest is truly plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." You can have the lights now. You know, you don't have to be going to China to be a missionary. We discussed some things earlier tonight. Having a heart for people, being willing to go, and anybody that knows Jesus Christ as Savior can be a missionary. You don't have to be a Bible scholar. You don't have to, it's good, you don't even have to go to Bible college. I never went to college, period. Never did a day, well, I mean, I did 3 years of language study, if you want to call that college, but that was just language and culture. It's about having a heart and being willing. And I'm just going to leave you with that note. I'll be here putting this stuff away. If you have any questions, please feel free to come up and ask me. I'd be more than glad to address them. How about if we just bow our heads now? Our Father in heaven, we give you thanks and praise. I thank you especially for giving me this opportunity to come down to North Carolina and I'm sure there's somebody in this group tonight that you want to speak to in regards to something I've said, perhaps of a challenge, motivation, conviction, whatever it might be. And Lord, I just pray that your Spirit might have its work complete in the heart of that person, whether it be young or old. And I pray your will might prevail in this, and you'll bless the labor that's put forth from this chapel in this portion of your vineyard that they labor in. And I thank you and commit this meeting to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Also, I gave one of the deacons in the Sunday school a DVD. It's called All the Little Children. It's a great DVD for anybody that has small kids from age 3 through 12. It's an evangelistic, it's a 10-minute evangelistic missionary DVD. If you have grandkids that don't come here, you may want to borrow it and show it to them at home, pass it around. Brother Jones over here will direct you to how to get it.